minutes after the hour. Some of the texts are getting pretty good here. I mean, these stories, Colfax, are... Oh, my God. It's Top Text Tuesday, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, but text into the program, 970-478-1301. Text KFKA if you're new to that number. We've never done anything like that. And by the way, I've had some people like, hey, you can't just call them. We were going to call. If somebody would have answered, I would have said, hey, you're on the radio right now being recorded. Are you guys a school? That was it. And they were either going to say yes, no, or hang up. And it went to voicemail, and it just gave the number. How did this Bishop Sycamore tree thing, how did this get through ESPN? I mean, a simple Max Preps thing could tell you, hey, their address is listed as a library. Their number just goes to voicemail after a couple rings, and in your case, Cole, one ring. And the, like, what school have you called, Colfax, where the school doesn't have an answering machine? That says, hi, you've reached Cheyenne Wells High School. For a list of teachers, press 1. For closures and cancellations, press 2. This just says, you've reached this number. Well, yeah, I know that. I dialed it. Should have left a voicemail. You guys at school? Boy, this is bizarre. All right, let's get to a couple of texts. We thought Valor and some of the private schools down in Denver did some things that were a little shady. Bishop Sycamore said, hold my beer. Dixon says a fake high school team from Ohio was on ESPN. Maybe ESPN thought LeBron was going back because he had high school football eligibility left. Never pass up a chance to get LeBron on ESPN. Ken Bone, Bishop Sycamore seemed like a legit program. Don't know what the big deal is. Your friend Manti. Manti Te'o. Fake girlfriend story. Heisman stuff. Remember that? That was another weird one. What's stranger, that story or this one? Manti kind of basically faked that he had a girlfriend. Am I hazy on this? Ken Bone, help me out with this. Did he say there was like a tragic story that he concocted? Is that right? But ultimately the girl was fake? Boy, I can't remember that one. And it's like, why? Because you're good on your own merit. Like, it was one of those things where he told a lie and then it escalated and it kind of just got to the point where it was like, well, now I'm too deep into the lie. They should make a movie about that. Like, that's a funny movie. That could be a comedy. Maybe. I mean, that was a weird thing, too. What was it? Was it just a fake girlfriend? Was that it?
Something about a catfishing. So he might have got catfished. Is that what happened?
I don't remember.
I'm just reading the headline.
I mean, think he got catfished. And then it became like he was embarrassed by it, so he just said he had a girlfriend. And then that was never real. I think he just carried it on. So it'd be like if you got I don't know. That's weird. I wasn't prepared to go, man. I did not wake up this morning thinking, today on the whole show, we're going to talk about Manti Te'o. There it is. He gave you a link. Manti Te'o.
I got it right here.
Mary's girlfriend. What?
His girlfriend,
that's not real.
He said his girlfriend died of leukemia.
Okay.
And, you know, if she died while he was playing, he was going to play in her memory.
Oh,
was
yeah.
The story.
It was bad. It was, like, sad.
And he made the cover of Sports Illustrated, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's all coming back to me.
It turned out to obviously not be true.
Wow. That's a crazy story. That was a crazy story. And he was, like, a Heisman candidate and stuff. Did he win the Heisman that year?
2012.
He did win it, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, he won it. Did he get it, like, he didn't lose it, did
Erased.
He? Yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't what he did worse than what Reggie Bush did? Receiving a car and stuff? He made up a story, because the Heisman's all about character and stuff, so making up a story like that, you know, oh, wow, good for him. Like, that adds to it. Is that story worse than what we're talking about today with Bishop Sycamore Tree?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm adding the tree, by the way. So don't look up Bishop Sycamore Tree. So his story's worse?
I think so.
Probably.
Pretending someone has cancer?
Yeah, I think. Then again, you're duping, like, an entire group of kids into thinking they're in school, and then their parents, that's you're telling true. Them. Like, that one story I'm reading from a kid. Like, I had to tell my mom each week. She's like, when are you going to school? Next week. We're from different worlds. Like, I played football. I can't imagine my mom going, you guys starting school next week? I'm like, I mean, we started school and then practice 2 weeks before school. And then and we were like, it's just different worlds. These kids are going all over the place to play football at high levels in high school. It's different, different worlds in Florida, Texas, apparently Columbus. Weird. Bizarro story. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Yeah, I remember he was a linebacker. I mean, I got that, but he didn't win the... That's right. He was a candidate, though. Who won it that year? Either way, he was using it for a way to try to win. I don't remember. Who was it? What year was that?
It's 2012 finalist.
2012. Let me look it up real quick, Colfax. Let me look it up. Oh, Johnny Manziel. Another maybe he should have come up with a fake girlfriend or something, man. Who knows? Should the Broncos sign Cam Newton? Oh, it's a dramatic pause to see what people thought about it. Did Von Miller effectively end Cam Newton's career? Because Cam Newton has not been the same ever since that Super Bowl. No, they shouldn't. I don't think they should for the timing purposes. What if we could rewind a bit? Before the camp started, if the Patriots decided Cam wasn't their guy at that point in time, would you have been more inclined to sign off on the Broncos signing Cam Newton at that point? Is it because we've already gone through this whole quarter, this very stressful quarterback competition? I think it would be wouldn't it be a bad look for Denver to bring in another Cam Newton type guy? I mean, if suddenly Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay just said, "Now, you know what? Never mind, we're done." Okay, that makes sense. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, like there's a few on that list that you're like, "I don't care when it is, what it is, where it is. Get over here and play." Cam Newton's not that guy. Not many are. Where you'd say, "All right, we just went through this whole freaking stressful decision move, and now we're going to bring Cam in." It wouldn't change the starting course, would it? If you brought in Cam Newton, he wouldn't be the starter for who's a better quarterback right now, Mac Jones or Teddy Bridgewater? Mac Jones, right? He just won the job over Cam. I mean, I know he's a rookie and we haven't seen him play in a real game yet, but who are you taking, Mac Jones or Teddy Bridgewater right now? Mac Jones. So Cam Newton battles it out almost 50-50 until this last game. Mac played really well. But then you look at it and go, well, he's kind of 50-50. Would Cam be a better option for the Broncos than Teddy Bridgewater? And I know people think I hate Teddy Bridgewater. Well, here I am today saying, no, I don't think it would be the right move. Teddy and Drew, those are your guys. It would be silly. 66% of the Hooligans say no. The Broncos should not sign Cam Newton. McLean chiming in. Hold on, wait. I can vouch from Anti-Teo. I am the girlfriend from Luke. Oh, he wasn't lying, guys. Oh, McLean, you had it. You still might have it. The Nuggets text might have it. But then again, Ken Bone had a strong one. Dixon had a strong text. The Heisman is a fraternity of highly... Oh, don't get me started on the Heisman. Ken Bone says the Heisman is a fraternity of highly reputable and respected people. Sincerely, OJ. So we interviewed Heisman's son when I first started the show. One of my very first interviews I ever did, he wrote a book about the Heisman and what it's supposed to be. And I've always said, I mean, because they have the most valuable player, they have the Heisman. The Heisman should be... It either is the best player or it's not. It's either the best player or the guy that represents college the best. And that's not always the case. It's just the best player. Every year, it's the best player. Doesn't matter. I have issues with that. They either need to just say, hey, this is what it is. It's the MVP award. It's the Heisman. Or it's for a good player. They got to be pretty good because that's part of it. They don't have to be the best, but they have to be pretty damn good. Have to have amazing grades, amazing human, upstanding citizen. Great representation of the NCAA. That's what it was supposed to be. Hard to find those sometimes, right? Dixon. Not sure why everybody is all pissed at Bishop Sycamore Tree. Their kids go to about as many classes as any college football or basketball player. and at least they could tell you where the library actually is on campus. That's a stretch. I mean, they went to like a library once, according to that story player. The player's story. There we go. Wow. Eastside Chris. Maybe Cam can hook up with the Bishop team. If Cam joins the Broncos, would he attend the Notorious Miller Halloween party? I don't know. I'm not sure what he would be dressed as. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. Quarterback play. I mean, I thought it was an interesting move by the Patriots, right? Not only did Cam lose the job, why did they cut him completely? Interesting. All right, and another big-time name, image, and likeness deal going on. Hey, we're talking a lot of Ohio. Ohio State QB. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Get to a couple of Broncos news as far as some trades and cuts and a lot of guys we were really rooting for the last few weeks. But shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Their number is 970-330-6824. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service is the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. It's kind of crazy, right? I mean, family-owned, which means they're going to be able to give you that truly that heartfelt process that goes into such a terrible time. Let the Mosier family help you through a tough, tough time. Their services are as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott, Robin, or a member of their staff a call today. Their website is Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, funeralservice.com. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Mike Kliss, Broncos have traded wide receiver Trinity Benson, who was a pretty good wide receiver but struggled on special teams, and that is an issue for Denver. They traded him to the Lions in exchange for fifth and seventh round draft picks in 2022, per source. Lions also get a sixth round pick in 2023. Peyton gets value, again, according to Kliss, Peyton gets value by dealing from one of the deepest positions. That's pretty good. I mean, you don't need Trinity Benson. I liked him, but you don't need him. And you just got a fifth and seventh round pick. Fifth round, I would have taken that. So a nice move by George Payton there to get something for a guy that's not going to see any playing time. Let's go to some of the cuts the last couple of days for this in the Denver Post and what we've seen thus far, you know, as far as waiving a couple of players. Mike Boone will be placed on the injured reserve once the initial 53-man roster is set. Of course, he hurt his quad during practice at Minnesota on August 12th. Probably going to carry four tailbacks then. Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, Royce Freeman, and then Boone will be injured reserve, but they will probably carry. Yeah, it looks like Royce Freeman is going to make this team. So I think that's pretty exciting. I mean, like I said, I've kind of been rooting for the guy. I don't know how much we'll see of him throughout the season, but It's going to be a nice sight. You know, I've been rooting for this guy from the beginning. Broncos waived Brett Rypien. The Brett Rypien day is done, Colfax. If you were one of those people that put like $30 on him to start and you were going to win like $30,000, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bummer. But it's kind of I don't know. I always kind of rooted for the guy. I watched him a lot at Boise State. And it's kind of bittersweet. At the end of the day, I mean, I had my moments when I thought maybe he'll be a starter. Maybe Drew Lock doesn't work out. But then they bring in Teddy, and then we have the whole quarterback competition. And it just got out of control, I suppose. But bummer. Brett Rypien's gone. They also waived Kendall Hinton, the guy that stepped in to play quarterback last year. Listen, it doesn't make sense, but still kind of sad. And then they waived fullback former fullback for the CSU Rams, Adam Prentice, who I thought was pretty good. But again, fullback. How many teams are really utilizing it? Now, I wish that we would see that more. You know, I wish we would see more teams come in with that stacked package and the big package and go in with a fullback just blowing people up in the middle. And you saw that with Prentice. And then we saw a couple weeks ago, obviously, Warren Jackson. And then Josh Watson, too. A lot of CSU guys. Josh Watson, Adam Prentice, Warren Jackson. Didn't make the team. Maybe they get on practice squad. We'll find out. But, I mean, it's tough seeing this sometimes. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Talking about the quarterback play, Cam Newton is he's going to be a free agent now. Surprise, really. I mean, this was the other quarterback battle that was really, you know, it was Drew Lock, Teddy. The Gardner Minshew, Trevor Lawrence thing, was that really a battle? Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, it was a battle, but it didn't go as long as, I mean, this Patriots deal went for a while. But rather than just demoting Cam to a backup, you go, hey, I mean, is this a respect thing to Cam Newton from Belichick to say, hey, we think you're better than a backup quarterback, but we got Mac Jones and we're ready to start that now because he showed out. He showed us a great preseason. We got him hoping he'd do it. He did it, and that makes things easier. Belichick had said repeatedly, though, that Newton was the team's starting quarterback, but that he had to reestablish that position, or someone would have to play better than him. According to Belichick, that was Mac Jones. He did just that. In releasing Newton, who was a team captain, it clears a path for Jones to grow into more of a leader, which I can't fault that move sometimes. Because if you're going to start with a young guy, do you want him looking over his shoulder that rookie year? Or do you want to say, hey, this is your rookie year. There's going to be growing pains, but we're going to be in this one for the long haul, at least for the season. We're going to be dedicated to this process. They have Brian Hoyer expected to serve as the backup. And then they have Jared Stidham is there as well. So here's I like this from Rich Simony via Twitter, ESPN. Ages of AFC East starting quarterbacks. It's kind of crazy to look at this right here. A lot of youngsters, though. Josh Allen, 25. Tua Tagovailoa, 23 for Miami. Zach Wilson, 22. Mac Jones, 22. Is that the youngest starting quarterback crew? Huh. I'll tell you what, Colfax, we're going to take an early break. We're going to get Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and Rams Wire. Well, I want to talk a lot of football, obviously, with Game 1 coming up on Friday, but it was a pretty special outing over the weekend for Colorado State Volleyball. They dropped the opener, but the crowd was really the story. We'll get to that. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The busy, busy game week continues. Man, a lot of great interviews so far, and it's just Tuesday leading up to a busy Friday night for a lot of the teams that we cover. Joining us now, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and Ram Wire. Mike, my friend, good to catch up with you.
How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're hanging in there. It's Tuesday, so I can't complain. I'm psyched for Friday, though. Friday night's going to be a blast.
I am, too. I'm excited to see a football stadium with fans in it and people enjoying themselves and a game under the lights. It's just been a while.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's been a really long time just with the absence of fans.
Yeah. No question about it. I mean, maybe we shouldn't forget it, but I guess we do sometimes, is how much having those fans in the stands or the arenas, what have you, really just makes the experience.
Yeah, I think we saw that firsthand here on campus at CSU on Saturday with the volleyball team and the whiteout. We had more than 3,000 students, and that was pretty impressive. It was really impressive considering that, you know, Friday night was when the whiteout was supposed to be, and you would generally think you can draw a bigger crowd on a Friday. And when you have to kind of change gears and cancel a game, which was a reminder that we're not completely past the COVID situation, it was neat to see that many fans coming in, and they made some noise. The players commented that was just indescribable having them back and just what it was. And it turned out to be the eighth largest crowd in Mountain West history and the second largest crowd between two non-ranked teams in volleyball. So it was a good sign.
Were you honestly, Mike, were you shocked by the crowd? Like you said, Friday night typically would be the time, and then Saturday we just make right up for it. Because I was looking at the pictures online. I wasn't in attendance, but just looking online, it was magical, man, just from the pictures.
Yeah, the pictures didn't do it justice. I mean, it was cool. They were streaming in. You know, if you've been to a basketball game or a volleyball game, you know the student section is the two ends of the floor. We had so many more students show up that we had to let them start moving into the middle parts of the seating arrangements. So that's how we had like an overflow student crowd. And that would be great if we got something like that for Friday night for the football game too. But I was really impressed because you kind of don't know what's going to happen. You know, kids might have plans on a Saturday afternoon, but, you know, Friday night, then everything just got switched. You know, you're supposed to be there Friday, but they came back on Saturday. It was awesome. It really was.
That's a great point, too, because you're right. You could have different plans for Saturday, but the fact that, hey, everybody was able to reschedule and make it work, great sign going forward. And, yeah, I mean, everybody that talked to, we've had a couple of players on the last couple of weeks, Mike, and they're just so pumped for the football side of it and what could potentially be at Canvas. Like, I get goosebumps thinking about it. And, you know, I'm not even going to even get close to that football field. I'm really excited to see what the turnout looks like ultimately.
Yeah, I am too. And I know ticket numbers have been pretty good from everything I've heard. I haven't gotten anything firm from anybody, but everybody's told me that it's been a pretty nice brisk sell, and the students are being very active about it. So that's what we want to see.
Yeah, well, and you know, this is a good opponent, too. I mean, I think there might be some that see FCS and not get excited, but if you pay attention to football in any capacity, and the fact that we have an FCS team here in Greeley, there's a lot of Northern Colorado fans that do not take that FCS thing lightly, and they look at this and say, man, this was a team that was in the championship like 5 months ago. So this is going to have a lot of upsell to it, a lot of potential to be a fun game.
It does have the potential to be a lot of fun game because South Dakota State was a really good team last year, and they returned back a lot of key pieces. They will have a new quarterback, but it's a quarterback who's played at a couple different spots and is very athletic, can run, so he fits perfectly into their offense and what they're trying to do offensively. You know, it's a program run under a long-term coach. So I think that kind of nullifies some of the effects some programs might feel from playing so late into the spring and then not having really – an off season, so to speak, before you get back into and you're playing like normal in the fall. So that would be kind of interesting, but I think just the longstanding tradition of that program, the success that they've had over the years, that can kind of nullify some of that. But I also think, you know, I don't pay attention to stuff like this because, you know, compliance issues, but I believe the betting line even has some issues in underdog. Mm. And I have a feeling some of the players find that to be a challenge and gives them a point that they need to go out and prove something right off the bat.
Boy, yeah, that's a great point, too, because if you weren't, and again, we're not saying that anybody was overlooking this team, but when you see it on paper like that, when you see that little negative sign or plus sign next to a number and it doesn't, it's not in your favor, it might just do something a little more, maybe ignite these guys. But I tell you, that should, as if they weren't motivated enough, right?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody used to scoff. They used to call these cupcake games, right? Mm. Most people scoff at, you know, an FCS team is coming in to play an FBS team. Well, you get the Appalachian States pulling off some of the stuff that they've done, the North Dakota State and the success that they've had over the years, things that South Dakota State's done. You just can't do that anymore. And so, especially if you're a group of five programs, you can't look at it that way. And I don't think most teams do anymore. So I think some of the old style of thinking is really kind of out the window.
Yeah, no question about it, especially because we've seen these upsets and then they're blown up all over social media. You see those and then now we're just kind of used to it, especially early on in the season.
Now, well, that's when these games take place because they don't take place, you know, outside of September. So, yeah, I mean, this is what you're looking for. It used to be the old school way of thinking, hey, let's get a win that gets us towards, you know, bowl eligibility. We'll schedule a smaller school. It still counts. We'll get the win and we'll move on and kind of get out of week one or week two without, you know, any physical ailments. But you know, just really isn't the case anymore. I mean, a lot of these FCS programs, especially the really good ones, are going in and they're finding it harder to schedule these games because they're coming very regularly with wins.
We're talking to Mike Brohard, CSURams.com and RamWire. So is that that's got to be a tough thing. Like you said, September's the month, but game one, you're hoping that Rams fans view it exactly that way, which I think for the most part they do. But nonetheless, it does feel like, Mike, there's a lot of pressure on this game one, even though we're just excited to see football. But, you know, if this is a loss for the Rams by any stretch, I do think that, yeah, people are going to walk away going, okay, what's next?
Yeah, there's always that fear that you have going in. But from a coaching standpoint, you're just trying to get your team ready to play and get them better. And for this, especially this staff, they didn't really get a first year. Everything was kind of chopped up and convoluted with the global pandemic. They haven't really had a firm chance to establish what they want until you got to the spring. And then this team has been able to put in the consistent run of practices. You know, there weren't the delays. There weren't any hiccups, you know, during preseason camp. You know, you lost a couple of key guys to injury for the season, but those are things that normally happen. What you didn't have is groups or units of your team out because of contact tracing. And so you weren't really getting everything done that you wanted to. And so, you know, you've had a chance for the offensive line to actually meld together, become one, get tied in, you know who their top seven are and who they're going to play. Those are things that will all be positive. And I think it's given a chance for Adazio and his staff to really firmly lay groundwork that they didn't get a chance to do, you know, the 12 months prior.
And I've talked to you about this before. I'm excited about a lot of aspects coming up on Friday. I certainly want to see how Toddy Senteo performs, this offensive line moving people around. But last year, we got a glimpse, maybe, as to what this defensive unit can be. And I'm pumped to just see this whole thing, like throughout the course of the season, how good this defense can really be.
Yeah, and it really does start with the defensive front. And everybody knows the four starters are back, and they're really good. And you know, you lead the nation in tackles for loss per game, and you're fourth in the nation in sacks. You know, you improved run defensively enough to the point where you were top 12 in the nation. You're only averaging 108 yards allowed per game. Those are all great starts. Then you start moving back. The linebackers are pretty solid. The secondary is kind of beat up in places, but it's also young where they have some depth. So you've got to develop some of that. You've got to hope that the defensive line takes a lot of pressure off of the secondary. That's what you hope for with a really good pass rush, is that they create some mistakes in the back end that even young players can take advantage of. So there's still some development to take place there, but it starts in a really good spot. If you have a really stout defensive front, which Colorado State does, it can make things much easier to improve.
Mike, did you get a chance last weekend? We did have a few college football games, and I think three Mountain West teams played. Did you get a chance I know you're busy all the time, especially with the volleyball weekend. Did you get a chance to look much into those, or at least the box scores?
Yeah, like I saw a little bit. I didn't get to see any of the Illinois-Nebraska game, but I saw what was happening on Twitter. I did go home because I wanted to watch San Jose State play.
Yeah.
Even though they were playing in Southern Utah. I turned it off with like 10 minutes to go in the second half because they're already up like 35-7. There wasn't much more to see. That's what some people hope when you play a smaller school is going to happen. But that's, you know, CSU can't look at their game that way. Like we talked about, but no, you know, San Jose State, they still look really good with Nick Sturkle, a quarterback, and they've got weapons on offense, and that'll be Colorado State's, you know, Mountain West opener after the bye, after the September of non-conference games.
Yeah, that team could be pretty darn scary too. And well, I'm curious to see what happens with Boise State coming up on Thursday night, going against UCF. So, you know, with the new coach, new situation there for Boise State, will they be just like, you know, pick up just like that, or are they going to have some growing pains?
Yeah, I mean, for Boise State, when you look at, they've already announced that Hank Bachmeyer's back. He'll play quarterback, which is good for them. But yeah, you are looking to see what changes take place with the coaching change. I'll watch that game, and they've got a really good foe in UCF right off the bat. So that's a nice game. Those are the fun games that you look forward to. You know, the opening week, you don't get them all the time, but you look for those, you know, really good matchups and teams that you think could maybe be ranked or be really good or definitely, you know, going to be going to bowl games. So yeah, I'm just like everybody else. If I'm not at CSU watching what they're doing on the football field, you know, I'll, like Friday nights, I know a lot of high school people don't like the fact that colleges are playing on that, but for me, my standpoint, that means Saturday I can probably sit in front of the TV and watch a bunch of college football. I like it. I mean, I'm still a fan.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, too. One last one for you on the kind of the outside of, you know, looking on at Brian Harsin moving on to Auburn. I think that's an interesting dynamic, too. Brian Harsin and, of course, Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator. They obviously developed a pretty good respect for each other when they played each other in the Mountain West.
I think they did. And I think Mike Bobo's reputation of being really an offensive kind of mastermind, whatever you want to call him, genius, whatever. He's very tuned offensively. I mean, he did some things at CSU offensively that were pretty impressive considering some of the tools that they had. They were a little weak on the offensive line for those last couple of years, and the fact that they could still somewhat score 30 points a game was pretty remarkable. So, yeah, I think there was a respect built somewhere along the way, and the fact that with Harsin going to the SEC for the first time, having a coordinator who had head coaching experience but it had also been an offensive coordinator in that league was probably a huge draw and why he turned to Mike Bobo.
Yeah, that's a great point there. Mike, appreciate it, man. Looking forward to a fun Friday night. It's going to be action-packed. Can't wait. And we'll look to catch up with you in the aftermath next week.
It sounds good.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. All right. UCLA beat up on Hawaii pretty badly yesterday, 44-10. Saturday, Fresno State just destroyed UConn, 45-0. And Fresno State might be pretty darn good as well. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll read some more texts. We got to wrap up Top Text Tuesday as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Morning traffic, news, and issues. Mornings with Gale, weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right. Do we have spreads here then? Colfax, I officially got into DraftKings. Haven't made a bet, but I'm on there somehow, some way. Somebody told me the spread for, is this right? UNC and CU is going to be 30 plus. It is 30 plus.
It's like 34.
It is 34 officially.
35, yeah.
And what's the CSU South Dakota State spread?
I don't know. See,
Brohard just told us they were dogs in this game.
I can't find any of these on my...
they're not on ESPN.
It's not on my FD account.
Where are you guys finding things? I'm looking right now. Am I missing something? Because, I mean, this is ESPN. Oh, I mean, then again, ESPN did air a fake football school team on there. So maybe that's not the one to trust. Where did you see... You saw the CU-UNC spread, though? And that's 34?
Well, I filled in a little bit on NoCo Now a little earlier.
Oh, Tanner talked about it. Is Tanner just making this up? Is this a Manti Te'o
type
thing?
He seemed like he really knew
thing?
What he was talking about. He was very confident.
I don't even know how to search, so he's probably... I mean, this is a guy that knows how to bet on, you know, Russian tennis or whatever.
Ping pong.
Yeah, ping pong. I don't know. Well, we got to announce a winner. Somebody text me the spreads, and then I can talk about it, because apparently finding a spread in this world of gambling is the hardest thing in the history of the world to do. Boy, McLean started this thing off the right way. Dixon brought what he usually brings. You know, he brings some magic there. I'm going to go Ken Bone on this. Yeah. Ken Ball, that's a good one. Anytime you can bring Manti Te'o into the discussion, you're going to get one. Okay, so that the scorecard looks like this. After 3 weeks, we reloaded the competition, and we're finalizing our details on getting our gift from Fresh Coat Painters South Platte, who hooks us up every single Top Text Tuesday. Dixon grabbed one 3 weeks ago. Snooki from New Jersey got one listening online. So we'll have to mail that probably. It's going to cost us money if Snooki wins this thing. And then Ken Bone getting it today. So we got 3-1 at this stage. So, all right, that's good. I like it. Good competition so far. We're getting into football mode. Thursday, I was thinking, Colfax. I know we talked about waiting for next Thursday to reload Thursday Night Special, but I'm kind of wondering if we should think about it because there's a lot of good college football games starting on Thursday. Think about it. Because the question is, Hulligans, because I'm going to do my locks of the week every Friday, too. I'm going to give you my local picks for my Big Four, and I'm going to give you a college lock and an NFL lock. And so far, so not so good, but I mean, come on. You surely thought Nebraska would beat Illinois, right? The question is, do I do all NFL Thursday night? Do we just make Thursday night an NFL thing? Or do I mix college in? I'm going to leave it to the Hooligans. You decide. Thursday night special, either way, is making its triumphant return. Will it be this Thursday? Will it be next Thursday? That's up to you. We like the Hooligans to be a somewhat part of the show if they don't absolutely destroy it, which happens 73-80% of the time, I would say. So there's still about that 20-27% that, you know, is you guys bring it and it actually works and it sounds okay. Do not forget, tonight, the first ever UNC, Ed McCaffrey, Jerry Schimmel, coach's show. Jerry's not the coach. He'll be hosting the show. Live from the GOAT, Mark Larson, one of the amazing sponsors of this show, Mark Larson Insurance. Of course, with State Farm, this is going to be a great, great program. I'm going to be out there, and McCaffrey's going to be out there. Jerry Schimmel's going to be out there. Come on out. Get to the GOAT. Have a great time. Good night, Northern Colorado.